and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Beauty Schmoll.
Oh, handsome, romantic man. Hello. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Everybody saw me just wipe a giant eye boogie out of Max's eye. Where should I put that? Jim.
There was a stampede out there. I couldn't get through because they were being blocked by...
Big white dogs? Yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Mastodons. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, to join the party. We have Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com and Bob Seska of the Daily Banter coming up on the big show. Oh, okay, ready?
What?
Can I have some comedy music, please?
All right.
Hang on. Let's see. Greg sends this. Jim, a Russian crosses into the Ukraine. What's your nationality? Russian? Occupation? No, just visiting.
Occupation.
It's a synonym for
could be your job, or you see, could be
context,
like he's
occupied. Yeah.
Okay, Jim. Who said you just don't in the 21st century behave in a 19th century fashion by invading another country on completely trumped up pretext?
Napoleon Bonaparte.
No.
It's a good, guess.
Sadly,
though.
John Kerry said that because.
Oh. Well, there's that.
Can I just say, do you need to hear any more from John McCain and Lindsey Graham, warmongers?
Senator, butch me up.
About how Obama has ruined our reputation in the world. That would be George Bush that invaded the country with no... Can you imagine people laughing around the world? That, like, yeah, right. It's George Bush
and
that is, you know...
Lindsey was all...
Yeah, has given us no moral ground to stand on. And, yes, go ahead.
Lindsey was so impressed with Putin because he gets things done. Yeah, because he's a dictator. We're still in a democracy somewhat.
Did you see him on, was it Candy Crowley? And he's like, the president is... Do something! He reminds me of, like, a chick that saw a mouse. He's just, do something! Like,
somebody hit the mouse! Is there a cat in the house?
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe on the top 10
rules. One, stop going on television and trying to threaten thugs and dictators. Mm-hmm. It is not your strong suit. Every time the president goes on national television and threatens Putin or anyone like Putin, everybody's eyes roll, including mine.
Especially
we have a weak and indecisive president that invites aggression.
Yeah, how close to the treasony line is that going on? Television where everyone around the world can see
you. If only we had a strong
president. Do it. Do it. Anything that will make our president look bad. We won't stand behind him. Go ahead.
I wish we had a strong leader like Hitler. He got things done.
No! Eek! A mouse! John's not home! Mr. President!
Now who's going to take care of the mouse? Oh, my stars!
Oh, my stars and goddess!
I whip myself.
Do something! Really? Lindsey?
Eek!
Charlie Pierce had a really funny thing about this whole Lindsey Graham thing.
Yes, he did.
And we'll talk to him about it
Senator
next hour.
Senator Huckleberry, butch me up.
Huckleberry Beauregard, butch me up.
Beauregard, butch me up. Oh, and his lover. I mean, did I say? I meant colleague. Senate colleague.
Couple of the same letters.
My boyfriend!
A mouse. No, it just... Has no one told John McCain that he lost the election and he is not president? What is with him? Like, is it his age that he dodders into trouble spots to undermine the president's foreign policy? He's over in Syria shaking hands with the...
We must attack now, sir.
You are not the president. You are not the Secretary of State. Stop boning up our policy around the world. I was reading one analysis on Ukraine and... just talks about, like, why Putin is so paranoid this time around and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he said that violent protests should erupt in Ukraine, where Russia saw a U.S. hand in the Orange Revolution of 2004-2005 didn't help. The sight of U.S. officials like John McCain strolling around the Maidan only added fuel to the fire. So this is part of the problem, and it's dangerous. Now Washington is left with few options in the short run. I mean, other than, do something!
Eek, a mouse.
God. And I'm sorry. I just realized I didn't turn this off, and it's glinging.
Yes, I heard a gling.
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 Someone's sending me a love note. Yeah. All right. The president yesterday on this whole situation.
I think the world is largely united in recognizing that the steps Russia has taken are a violation of Ukraine's sovereignty, Ukraine's territorial integrity, that they're a violation of international law.
Yeah, I think about Putin. He's got Europe over a barrel because that's where they get all their gas from.
Right.
Gazprom.
Right. I mean, you know, we were saying this yesterday that, you know, it's a complicated situation, but I think, I don't know, Chris, what you said yesterday, because you, there's a lot of things you've said on the show that I was like, but that, did you just say, oh, we should just give it to him? Or, oh, that's okay. He should. What? No. I mean, you can't. It's a sovereign nation. I understand it's complicated, but, Washington Post, I thought, had some good points. Obama must.
It's only been a part of the Ukraine since the 50s.
Okay, so you just go, okay, fine, just take it? I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that Putin would stop there.
A majority of the people in the Crimean Peninsula say, yeah.
Okay, so we should just give it to him. Okay, we'll just, you just take that then.
So you don't like, you don't want the will of the people of the country?
There are pro-Russian.
The will of some of the people?
People within Ukraine. Yeah.
The will of the vast majority of the people in the Crimean Peninsula.
Wow.
To be a part of Russia.
Wow, are you wrong? Mr. Obama.
How am I wrong?
You're wrong about we should just go, oh, that's fine. We should say,
am I wrong
nicely,
about...
Should we go nicely done, Putin? Nicely done.
No, I'm wrong about the majority of people in the Crimean Peninsula wanting to be a part of Russia? No, I am not.
It's a sovereign nation. They're breaking every kind of international norm and accord that they signed.
But what he said is true.
Okay, well...
So I am not wrong. Okay, so please don't tell me I'm wrong when I'm not.
What should you say? what you said is, oh, we should just give it to him. Oh, we should just let him have it and do nothing?
No. He didn't say give him the entire Ukraine.
The Crimean Peninsula?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Maybe. Maybe that's an option we can look at.
Oh, God. You know, the problem is we're caught between people like, you know, Bomb Moran, Mr. and his sidekick, Butch Me Up. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that's the problem is when somebody says do something, what would you do, Beauregard? Exactly. You know, he never says exactly what. We get it. We've heard all the stuff. There's a lot of things you can do.
I don't trust Putin as far as I can throw.
Absolutely not.
But if the people in the Crimean Peninsula want to be part of
Russia. If that is the will of
those
people.
Then they have the right to
make
that
decision. That is an option that we should probably look at.
Okay. Washington Post editorial board saying Mr. Obama's first response on Saturday was to spend 90 minutes on the phone with Mr. Putin. The president offered the Russian ruler peaceful ways to pursue his interests in the Ukraine, including the dispatch of international observers to monitor treatment of Russian speakers and internationally mediated talks with the Ukrainian government.
Sure.
I think that's a good start. Mm-hmm. You know, it's reasonable to offer Mr. Putin a face-saving way out of the crisis he triggered. But Mr. Obama needs to be prepared for the very real possibility that, as in his previous invasion of Georgia, Mr. Putin will ignore international condemnations and press ahead. Such a policy would start with the cancellation of Mr. Obama's attendance at the summit, suspension of talks with Russia on trade issues. Mr. Obama should convoke a meeting of the seven industrial democracies that excludes Russia, obviously make the G8, the G7,
right.
Like people are saying. Mr. Putin should get the message that he will henceforth be a pariah to the democratic world. Mr. Obama should make clear he will no longer shrink from applying sanctions to Russian leaders and businesses complicit in aggression or human rights violations. The most powerful non-military tool the U.S. possesses is exclusion from its banking system. Mr. Obama should make clear if Russia does not retreat from the Ukraine, it will expose itself to this sanction, which could sink its financial system. So, you know, I think I'm sick of the all these foreign policy conversations start with, whatever Lindsey Graham and John McCain say is going to border on treason. It's going to border on, it is whatever makes this president, it's telling the world we don't stand behind our president and he's weak and he's inviting aggression, so come on with it because, you know, that'll help us in the midterms, I guess.
All they want to do is send troops into the area. And,
right.
And Obama has already said that is not an option.
Well, exactly.
And I agree with him
that's exactly right. Like, who wants to, does anybody think that would be wise to get into a military conflict?
There are indications this morning that Putin is softening his stance.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was a, who's the chick? You know I can't pronounce the name. The Ukrainian leader.
No.
Not from Squintin. Not Mika Brzezinski. Not Squintin the meat puppet.
Brzezinski.
Lola Falana.
Gina Lola Brigida.
No, the Ukrainian. Okay. All right. Yes, my friend Michael Tomasky.
No, the chick who did the thing that time.
Yeah,
you know, her.
Ukraine. Mika. What? No. Talking about another morning show. Yeah, I mean.
Let me finish.
I mean, Mike Tomasky, my other, you know.
Crush.
Right. His headline today, take John McCain's Russia advice and you might get another Cold War.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
Which would probably be fine with him.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's
good times.
Yeah, I mean, and that's obviously the joke we were talking about yesterday the president made with Mitt Romney. You know, the 80s called, they want their foreign policy back. Yeah. You know, I think that he is trying to, like, conduct this in this century. He talked to him first. Can we address your concerns?
But in the 80s, we had Mikhail Gorbachev, and that's no longer the case. And he was someone you could talk to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly right. We'll see. I just, it kills me. Again, like Eric Bolla told us yesterday, 6 months ago, he was the greatest. Vladimir Putin, now he's a thug and a dictator again. And it is to laugh.
Mm-hmm. It's just zum Lachen.
Huh?
That's where that phrase comes from.
Right. German. Exactly. I knew that. Okay. So a lot more to get to. 17 minutes after the hour.
Stephanie Miller.
We got the
beat. Yeah, because we're white people. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bar fight, Sue's on my side, let's break off a bottle and go. I'll hold Chris, and you hit him, Sue.
Good morning. Now, Chris, you know I love you, but this time Stephanie's 100% right.
Thank you.
You are 100% wrong.
Thank okay, you. Why?
Here's why. In 1994, the General Assembly Security Council signed a document from the permanent representatives of Russia, Ukraine, Britain, and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, Russia pledged to never invade. This was about disarming and getting all the nukes out of Ukraine, which they did. They completely disarmed. And in return for that, this document that allowed them into part of the non-proliferation group to promise. And in it, it specifically says, Rachel did a great job, and I will send you the document if you want, that under no circumstances will any of these countries ever invade any of these others, guaranteeing the sovereignty of the Ukraine and Crimea, which at least was part. If the people of Crimea want to secede from Ukraine and go back and become part of the Russian Federation, then they hold what's called an election. That's what we do in democracies. We have a referendum, and then the people can vote. So if the majority of Crimeans would like to go and be returned to becoming part of Russia, that's how you do it. You don't put forces on the ground.
Right.
You don't invade.
Yeah.
And you don't act like a big, big bully because you have a really, really tiny penis.
Which is why you're threatened by gays.
But,
exactly.
But you will agree that the democracy in Ukraine as it is now is a lot less stable than it was when that accord was signed.
That doesn't make it okay to say you can just invade and send your army in and impose your will on a sovereign nation.
He's not talking about invading.
He has invaded.
He has put troops there. Secret troops without any identifications, trucks without.
I mentioned that yesterday.
And they're showing pictures that they happen to have come from Russia and they happen to only speak Russian, but maybe they're not Russian. You know,
most of the people in Crimea only speak Russian, though.
That may be true. And again, they may have changed their minds. But then you had call just like they were calling for new elections in Ukraine as the new leader came in. It is a period of terrible uncertainty, but it is internal, and it is certainly not the business of us from 5,000 miles away, and certainly not Russia.
Thank you.
And I would say China.
Sue, I grew up in Lockport near Niagara Falls. There is a Canadian side and an American side.
Completely different.
If you go, most of the American side wants to be Canadian.
Completely irrelevant.
Stephanie, that is not analogous in the least.
Canada
invades the geography of what's going on there.
Yes.
Do you know that it is closer to Russia than it is to Ukraine?
I do.
No. If you look at the map, it's a peninsula. You could easily listen. By that definition, Florida should be part of Cuba.
So, but if the people in Crimea want to be part of Russia, they have no say in that.
They can't call for
an election. Thank you.
The people of Crimea cannot call for an election. The entire country has to call for an election. The entire country is not going to allow Crimea to secede.
No, no, no.
It's not in their interests.
Listen, I cannot give you an opinion on exactly what should be done because I'm not a right-wing idiot, and I don't know anything really about the long-term history of Russia, Ukraine, Crimea. I do know the charge of the Light Brigade was the Crimean War,
right.
And I believe Lindsey Graham is rewriting that as the charge of the Light Loafers. But that's
hey!
A whole other story.
You threw a joke in there. Yeah, but I, you know, and I think that, you know, there's a reason that the entire world is condemning this and should, as President Obama
exactly.
and John Kerry said.
Exactly. There are mechanisms, there are processes, they're not quick. And the very last thing we will ever allow, whether we use, you know, I believe today Kerry pledged the Ukrainian government $1 billion in aid. We have sanctions. We have ways
yeah, we do.
To move
mm-hmm.
things around, and we have influence. But we're not going into any more wars.
Right. And don't you love that a lot of the same stuff happened when George Bush was in? But because he said he saw Putin's soul and everything was okay.
Yeah.
The right wing are fine with that. Like, and now he's a thug and a dictator. Obama's an idiot. Right?
6 months ago, the right wing and all the corporate media could not love Pootie Poot more.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, swooning. They were in full swoon over Putin.
That was September.
Yeah.
September is, and today is March. That's only 6 months ago, and now they want to invade them. And until they strap on their guns, their gear, and are dropped into the middle of Crimea, tell Lindsay and John and all of the warmongers to STFU. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Rockstar tears for sure.
I think you're looking at it in a very, very black and white way, like a right-winger would. There are so many shades of nuance to this thing.
Of course there are, and I said that yesterday. But this is like, speaking of right-wingers, Mike Rogers, Republican of Michigan, he said, Putin's playing chess and we're playing marbles. I mean, I swear to God, they are on the side of anybody that is against, it doesn't matter if it's a different country. They're on the side of whoever's against, you know, Obama or can make Obama look bad. Here we go.
Is playing chess,
yeah.
And I think we're playing marbles.
Yeah.
And I don't think
yeah.
it's even close. So if you look at the nuclear negotiations, we got our fannies handed to us.
Yeah, he's manly and homophobic like our whole party. We love him. Yay, go. LA Times editorial says, this sort of sniping is unfair. Obama has been right to place the emphasis not on a contest between Russia and the West, but to focus on the right of the Ukrainian people to choose their own political and economic course. Other nations can offer advice and assistance to Ukraine, and Russia can be part of that process, but military occupation is not advice. Thank you, LA Times editorial. Putin playing with fire in Ukraine. Do you know how hard it is to not say the Ukraine? I'm just saying, just that is a victory for me.
Why is that hard?
Because you start to go, and then you just have to swallow it.
The country's Ukraine.
Right.
Like France. It's
right.
Not the France.
Right. I'm from the Poland, so,
okay,
you know,
sure.
I got an excuse. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I think you're the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Do you really?
No, but I don't mind lying if it'll get me somewheres.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like a sacred light.
Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Our friend Bob Seska coming up in hour number three. He has a great piece. President Obama is neither a weak, indecisive liberal nor a bloodthirsty, warmongering conservative. Nuance. Check into
what?
It.
Nuance? What the hell's that?
French and gay.
I like the old aunts. Why do we have to have new aunts?
I know. I understand. Yeah, I mean, he talks about how absurd it is for Lindsey Graham to blame, Obama for what happened. He said the blame belongs on Putin where it should be. He writes, Russia is an irrational, unpredictable, and bellicose nuclear power with resources far more vast than Iraq's in 1990. Obviously, meeting such zeal with knee-jerkery is a recipe for disaster. We can only imagine how Graham and his hawkish colleagues would have reacted if Obama hadn't said a damn thing. I mean, it is a given this president cannot do anything right
in
those circles.
Doing too much, not enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he said something. Can you imagine if he didn't say anything? So I didn't say the right thing, and now it made Lindsay eye roll.
Then he'd have to go
yeah.
outside of...
We need to... Watch out for Lindsey Graham's delicate sensibilities.
Anyone that has a teenage daughter has seen.
Lest he eye rolls.
Whatever. Whatever. I'm grounded from Facebook for, oh, fine. Anyway, Bob writes, there's a very real chance Crimea isn't Putin's last stop. If that's the case, Europe is under serious threat of war in or around the Balkans. Pragmatism, not haste, is what's required now. You know, basically makes the point that we have before, that nobody wants a proxy war with Russia. I mean, it's all right. Let's go to Tracy in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Mama. How you doing?
Good, baby. Go ahead.
Chris, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. And you're wrong for all the points that Sue said, but you're also wrong because by your logic, the southern states don't like Obama and want to succeed, so we should just let them do it because there's more of them. And it doesn't matter about our resources that we've given them or the fact that we're a democracy and people should vote.
Right.
We should just let them succeed.
And Tracy, by the way, why is my Niagara Falls analogy bad? Listen, there's a lot of reasons to not like America right now. If you're on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls, you're like, we want to be back in Canada. These people are crazy in America.
The Canadian side has never been a member, has never been a part of the United States.
Just saying, if Canada came and tried to pick them up, we'd say a
Crimea was a part of Russia until the 50s.
But they're no longer a part of Russia.
Right.
And then you were
asking why that was not analogous, and I told you why that's not analogous. But now you're running off into something
else. It's a good analogy because it's near where I grew up, and
no,
I understand.
It's not a good analogy.
Because
it's
Jenny Cream Ale.
A horrific analogy.
Tracy.
But Jenny Cream Ale.
You know, Mama.
Niagara Ice Wine.
Tracy, Mama. We're not talking to them. We're only talking to each other now. Tracy, talk to me.
Okay. The other reason why you're wrong, Chris, is it's a basic situation. When you're dealing with a spoiled child, even if you were going to give them the cookie, when they start throwing a fit, you don't give them the cookie.
Thank you.
Now, maybe Crimea should be a part of Russia, but there's a way to do it in a democratic nation that doesn't include
the rest
giving
of,
Putin what he wants because he's throwing a fit. He's
but the rest of Ukraine there. Isn't about to allow Crimea to have that election.
That is called democracy.
The
rest of
Ukraine
the U.S. did not want Obama to be a president, but that is called democracy. That is the world they live in now, and they need to deal with it.
Okay, but by your analogy, Ukraine is bullying Crimea into staying a part of Ukraine when they want to be a part of Russia.
My analogy, there are resources there. There are naval bases there. There are
Russian
people
naval,
that are
yes,
part
Russian
of
naval
that
bases.
Are Ukrainian. No, there are. There are military bases there that are Ukrainian.
And there are people there that are Russian
Ukrainian.
As well.
They consider themselves Ukrainian. If these people consider themselves Russia, go to Russia.
It's just that simple. And by the way, as Jim said, I don't trust Putin as far as I can throw him. Like, you know what he wants?
No,
he wants the old Soviet Union back.
He wants the USSR to be back together.
That's what
he thinks is going to be wonderful, if it was the old USSR. He's the KGB. There is a way for them to be separated.
I'm
sorry if it doesn't work out for them, but you have to go through the democratic process.
Yeah.
You cannot
it's tough to tell people happens, you know.
Well,
sorry, but your life sucks.
Huh? But because they all of a sudden decide they don't want to be a part of the Ukraine, I say the too.
So wait, Putin sent troops and he's not being a bully. It's the Ukraine
I'm just saying, you need to look at it from both sides. The people of Crimea who want to be a part of Russia are seeing Ukraine as the bullies that won't let them secede and go into Russia.
Really? Have you talked to everybody in Crimea?
Steph, I'm looking at it from both sides. I'm not seeing things as black and white like a right winger.
I'm not seeing them from black and white. I'm seeing like most people around the world are saying
Steph,
you don't do it by sending troops in.
Steph, you're seeing things in an array of colors. It's not as simple as just giving it to Russia. You just can't. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You just can't just give it to them because he's throwing a fit.
You're right.
That's not how democracy works.
Who's talking about giving it to them?
It's not up to us to give them anything.
No, it's up to the people of Crimea.
You said that yesterday. Oh, just give it to them. Give it to him. That's what you said.
No, I said that's something we should consider.
Oh, mm-hmm. We don't have
the power to consider it. It's up to the people to consider that. And what's going on right now
is they're
democratic rights. No, Russia got involved. Russia should have stayed out of it and let
And the U.S. is getting involved, and we should just stay the F out of it.
Well, everyone needs to stay out of it, but they're not going to because Russia got involved. If they wouldn't have got involved,
by the way,
then
Tracy,
whatever was going to happen would have happened.
Did you see when we were talking about, like, Putin, what he wants back is the old Soviet Union? Did you see in the opening ceremonies it was, like, all the lights turn red and the hammer and sickle.
Oh, God.
That was ominous.
And everyone's like,
he is dreaming of the good old days. Oh, he wants the USSR so bad.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to invade old Soviet Union, old nations that are now separated. He will continue. And as long as we don't, as long as no one in the Western world challenges it because we feel like we don't care about that side, he's going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we should invade the way he did, but economically we can hurt them.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Tracy,
it's a second world country.
Are you a mom?
He barely pulled off the Olympics. Yeah, I am.
See, I figured that. I figured that because if your toddler is spinning in the Walmart parking lot and you go, all right, I'll give you a cookie, but you'll never do this again, right?
Did you just call Russia a second world country?
No, if I'm about to give you a cookie and you start throwing a fit, I'm not, you're not, you were so close. You were so close to getting that cookie.
You were,
but you see what you did just now?
Did you just call Russia a second world country?
Yeah, they're Russia, the only part of Russia, they barely pulled off the Olympics. They don't have the financial stability.
Well, there's a lot of corruption there. That doesn't mean that they're a second world country.
Tracy, that's why the financial is almost the biggest club we have.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, their toilets, in most of their places, their toilets don't flush. The people don't have money. They posture like they're a first world
Moscow has more millionaires per capita than any other city in the world, right?
Right, that's why you cut off the visas.
Yes, I understand. The money is concentrated in certain parts, but it's extremely corrupt.
Yeah, it's not a second
world.
So
there's a level of, they depend very highly on the internet, the UN, on the international market.
Right.
If they pull money out, they can't sustain by themselves.
Yeah,
but also, one thing to consider, we have no launch vehicles anymore. We need a ride with the Russians if we want to go out in space.
That's right.
Since the shuttle was...
Tracy, you and Sue and I are the smartest girls in class, and Chris is just rude.
I know, right? I've never seen him throw a fit like this. I'm kind of disappointed.
Whatever, no cookies for him.
Fit?
And no soup.
No
All right.
cookies, Chris.
Jim, have I thrown a fit?
No cookies for
no,
you.
No, I've just argued another position.
Brian in...
And apparently that's throwing a fit.
Yeah. Brian in Charlotte.
Stephanie, on
I guess so. I didn't know that was part of the job description.
Brian, clearly it's not. Brian in Charlotte. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, guys. As much as it pains me to agree with Chris this morning, you can't apply conventional democratic logic to autocratic countries.
You're right.
That's the problem with these countries.
Yeah.
That peninsula was not democratically the Ukraine to begin with. It was given to
as
Ukraine.
A gift by Brezhnev.
Yeah, and so the people basically were forced to become Ukraine, Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one point. And I'm not agreeing that we should, you know, he shouldn't be invading a country to try to get the peninsula back. But to Chris's point, those people were never Ukrainian to begin with. And it wasn't democratically Ukrainian, you know, so I kind of can see that point from Chris's side. Not that, you know, I agree with Putin. But, and then to invade, you know, or to apply any type of sanctions, Europe depends on Russia a great deal, and we have a trade deficit with them. So there's really no clear-coat solution to that problem.
Right. Russia,
did you say clear-coat or clear-coat?
Clear-coat.
You need the clear-coat.
I'm sorry.
You need the clear-coat to
make
sure. Yeah, you
need any undercoating.
You don't get any scratches on the hair.
That's what it was. We didn't. The Crimea didn't get the clear coating before.
Let
me just stumble for another analogy here. Haven't I given you one of my electronics? I can't remember when. Didn't I give you an old something of mine? iPad something? I did. Remember? Because you remember I gave you one of my laptop and iPad something. Remember?
It was the original
I'm nice.
iPad.
Right.
Because
I'm really nice. Okay, my point is...
What does that have to do with anything?
My point is...
I gave that to an ex of mine anyway.
You bastards, that's emotional value. I'm just saying, what if I decided I wanted it back and I got a gun and I broke your door down and I took it back? Ha ha! I was invading you.
Yes, but we're not a democracy.
Listen, I am sleepy. 45 minutes after the hour.
Poor thing.
Right? I am a poor little thing.
Aww.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. From anywhere, start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use that promo code Stephanie. All right, Ken, thanks for all your fine great comments about Sexy Liberal in Fort Lauderdale. Woohoo! Sexy Liberal Carlos Alzraki will be in What's Tomorrow. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang on Friday. And then John will be filling in for us all next week when we are on vacation. Don't forget, I know, Madison sold out in March. Sorry, been sold out for a long time. That means road trip to Chicago for the April 26th one. Don't get scalped by those damn sites that just happened in Fort Lauderdale. Go right to SexyLiberal.com or Sexy Liberal Facebook. Sexy Liberal Albuquerque is coming up in May. And then, of course, in June.
Minneapolis, you've been extra Minnesota nice lately, and you deserve a treat.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the State Theater on June 7th.
So it'll be quite a coincidence if they weren't, you know, connected.
Join John Fugelsang.
From his footprint, he looks like a big fella.
Carlos Alazraki.
Oh, he's a little guy, kind of funny looking.
And St. Pauli girl Stephanie Miller, as they bring triple the comedy to the Twin Cities.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
Yeah, you got that right.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or the State Theater box office. Don't miss this evening of laughs with your Sexy Liberal family.
Where is everybody?
That's Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at Minneapolis's State Theater on June 7th.
I am absolutely delighted to welcome you to the land of Minnesota Nice.
End of story.
I love the Mary Tyler Moore Fargo matchup.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 51 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you. Oh, that was Kenny Pick and
Shafe
on the Minneapolis Sexy Liberal promo. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Hilarious. All right. By the way, so you two just gave me a pop quiz during the break.
You
what's
passed.
What's the capital of Ukraine?
Surprisingly, you passed.
I am not a dummy, you big sticks. Excuse me. In fact, I was saying there was some dispute in our family. I might be part Ukrainian. Maybe that's why I know. My mom's Polish, and her mom's Polish, and she claims that her husband was Polish, but my mom said she thinks he might have been Ukrainian. But my mom, grandmother didn't want to say that.
Okay.
Just saying. Maybe that's how I knew. Just pulled that right out of my ass. Kiev. Take that.
Chicken Kiev. Butter.
And you know who's the smartest boy in class now?
Who?
Natan, our free speech TV director. Who's mama's new favorite? Because he made the best analogy on this whole Putin and the, Crimea situation.
Uh-huh.
He said, that's what O.J. said. O.J. said, I was just going to get my own stuff back that I own, but he went in with guns. He went in with guns. Natan!
There's a little democracy thing here.
Natan! With nothing but net. Oh. The three-point shot at the... You don't have Harlem Globetrotters?
No.
Sorry, I was trying to serenade you, Natan. I apologize.
Shucks.
Chris is wrong once again.
I don't have it. Oh, darn.
All right. He's like, it was my stuff. I used to own it. I just went. Then they went with guns, and the judge said, yeah. No.
Computer says no.
They're to jail now. That's robbery. Okay.
OJ is not a country.
No
Thanks,
man is
Chris.
An island.
Thanks, Chris.
So okay. How is that an analogy?
It was a good one, Natan, and I love you best.
Thank you. Oh, Lord. Okay, kiss ass!
What cannot be done is for Russia, with impunity, to put its soldiers on the ground and violate basic principles that are recognized around the world. And I think the strong condemnation that it's received from countries around the world indicates the degree to which Russia's on the wrong side of history on this.
Except for a couple of dummy mooks. LA Times editorial
and
board.
Several emailers and several callers that we have on hold. But, of course, you're going to go to the people that only agree with you.
The fine people at the LA Times editorial board, right? Secretary of State John Kerry is right. Russia's deployment of troops in Crimea is an incredible act of aggression that violates express promises Russia made two decades ago to respect Ukraine's territorial integrity. If Russia doesn't reverse course, the U.S. and countries in Europe should impose economic sanctions. But even as they weigh such measures, the U.S. and its allies must be willing to show Russia that its concerns can be resolved, in Kerry's words, according to the standards of the 21st century. Yeah, thanks, George Bush, for giving us such high moral ground to stand on about invading... flimsy pretexts or whatever. But neither its desire to protect Russian speakers nor the existence of a Russian naval base in Crimea justifies the invasion. LA Times editorial writes, violent actions in relation to a population living in the eastern regions of Ukraine and in Crimea, even if Russian speakers were in imminent danger, and that seems doubtful, there were options other than invasion, which is what Sue in Rockville said, who is the smartest girl. Of course, protection of kindred groups in another country is a long-standing pretext for aggression going back to Hitler and beyond. I think I said that yesterday. Oh, go ahead. Just Poland. That's all he's going to take. Don't worry. President Obama was right to promise that there would be consequences, they write. Kerry detailed, and we've been talking about what the penalties could be, visa bans, asset freezes, isolation with respect to trade, investment. Kerry said the U.S. is absolutely prepared to boycott a meeting that, you know, we just talked about, the G8. If Russia doesn't withdraw or it moves into other parts of Ukraine, the U.S. and other nations must be resolute in imposing and maintaining those sanctions. That doesn't rule out continued diplomatic efforts to induce the government of Ukraine to take the concerns of its Russian-speaking citizens seriously. But Ukraine shouldn't be forced to do so under occupation by foreign forces. Ukraine is an independent nation whose territorial integrity Russia has solemnly promised to respect. And
Highly scatological on Twitter says, nothing says love like regifting a Stephanie Miller Show used iPad.
That was back when iPads were really cool and new. Remember you loved me for a second when I gave that. You were like, wow.
So you were trying to buy my love.
Yeah. Didn't work. Like contrary bastard.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
No, you're a defensive end.
Only on things I'm right on.
What?
Defensive. You're the one who's defensive. Yeah. Shut up.
Mark in Alabama. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm originally from Chicago, and it'd be great if you guys could come down here to Alabama where I live now, because it would be like an enema for the state. You know what I'm saying? Because you have, like, I mean, the politicians here could actually use the enema, but yikes. Well, that would be the next best thing.
Sexy liberal sure. Enema. All right. Go ahead.
But what I would, I did call a comment on the Ukraine thing. I enjoy the repartee so far. But there's some point that's been missed, because, for example, when the United States had its civil war, our government didn't allow other nations to participate or work against us or anybody. I mean, although, of course, France took advantage of Mexico at the time, and England and France both did try to mess with the South a bit. But generally, we stood against it. And also, you have the Sudetenland. When the Germans wanted that, or Hitler did, Europe in general did give them the Sudetenland. But it never did much good, did it? Because considering what happened after that.
Yeah. Well,
I don't trust leaders like Putin, because they remind me too much of people like Mussolini and Franco.
Remind me again, did Sudetenland want to be a part of Germany?
There were ethnic Germans within the Czech Republic who wanted to.
But was it a majority of the area?
I doubt it.
Then it's not analogous. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Captain.
And you can still get by, as I found out when I was in the Czech Republic, speaking German.
Captain Analogy. I loved your O.J. analogy. I thought it was perfect, Natan.
O.J. is not a democratic country.
You are perfect and wonderful, and I love you, Natan.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
You know what? I agree with the last caller.
You're kissing each other's ass.
I enjoy the repartee on the show, except the part where anyone else talks, except for Natan.
Oh, God.
58 minutes after the hour.
Natan, let me give you my headphones. You're going to be a part of the next hour.
I wouldn't do repartee. That's just
you can chip in once a day from over there. Just learn how to work that thing.
Okay.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Why? Because Charlie Pierce is coming up this hour. And Bob Seska next hour. Very, very exciting. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Lots of people want to join the Crimea party.
Crimea River.
Right? Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, our Sexy Liberal website. The new pictures are up from Sexy Liberal Fort Lauderdale this past weekend. Thanks for all your kind comments. And no, we were not auto-expecting Jackie Schechner in that picture backstage.
She will still be here on Thursday, alive.
Right.
So,
yes.
She didn't asphyxiate her.
She escaped. A love letter from John in San Antonio. Mama the Mooks. Despite living in San Antonio, I listen to your radio show online. I stream WCPT. Oh, our fabulous Chicago station. Good job. I stream Progressive Voices on my TuneIn app, or I watch Free Speech TV on my Q Jim Ward.
Okay.
Thank you.
Or you can see it at StephanieMiller.com.
Right there on the front page. Easy, easy, easy peasy.
Easy.
Okay.
Easy,
I'm convinced.
Easy lemon squeezy.
Thanks. I'm convinced that Texas needs a triple dose of the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Let's turn Texas purple, if not blue, in 2014. Woot! Happy clappy.
It's on its way.
Right? No giving up, kids.
Oops.
Right? All right. By the way, here is this is a cautionary tale and then an unsolicited testimonial and then back to the Ukraine fights. The Ukraine fights.
The fights about,
right.
about Ukraine.
Right.
Yes, okay.
Whatever. Grammar police. Steph, I heard you mention Pro Flowers the other day. Pro Flowers is a sponsor of Rush Limbaugh. When I found out, I wrote to them saying I consider Rush to be a bigoted slimeball and would not do business with them if they continued to support him. They just thanked me for my concern, so I stopped using their services.
No.
William, listen to me very carefully.
Listen to me very carefully. Put Stephanie back in the box.
No,
this is how you fight
that
back.
That hurts all of us.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't put Mom out of business, please. Mama's hanging by a thread, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously, that's how you fight back. You type Stephanie in the box, not Rush Limbaugh. That's how you fight back. Like a fine American Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania did. Here's what you do, Steph. Unsolicited testimonial. My wife started a new job last week, so being a good husband, I sent her a dozen Sherry's berries. Not only did she love them, but her male coworkers were impressed. Her female ones were all, I'm going to put that bug in my man's ear. And her sister and their mom were happy because
Liz... She's saying it like that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because Liz was nice enough to share. So you see, when you type Stephanie in the box, everyone wins. It's true. When you have Stephanie in your box, everything's good.
Oh,
okay. Never mind. I should have maybe reworked that.
Slogan needs a little
punching
up.
Yeah, I need to. Didn't sound exactly right. Okay. The president on the situation in Ukraine.
Russia's on the wrong side of history on this. We are examining a whole series of steps, economic, diplomatic, that will isolate Russia.
Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning,
Max, Fred. I just wanted to point out, the Republicans always seem to be for democracy in every other country except our own.
Yes.
Which is really, really frustrating. And also, too, Chris, to your point, I don't think there's any right or wrong here. It's just we have to be cautious about who we're supporting.
Sure, absolutely.
I.e. Syria. You just have to be just very, very vigilant and very cautious. And as the president has said, we can put some financial sanctions on the plutocrats out of Russia and hold their money.
Yeah.
So that was.
Well, you know, in Syria, by the way, Mike, it's a perfect example of how the Republicans are really actively rooting against the president. They're not rooting for any other side than whatever they think makes the president look bad. And Syria, to me, was a stunning diplomatic success, and they spun that. Oh, Obama's Syria debacle, and oh, Putin saved him. Like, what is there something bad about a situation where everyone wins and no one dies? I mean.
It's very sad to see these people not be patriotic when they wrap themselves in the red, white, and blue, i.e., again, John T-Rex McCain.
T-Rex, exactly.
Of course, the Russian flag is also red, white, and blue.
Yeah, true.
Right. My future husband, Michael Tomasky, take John McCain's advice.
Tomasky.
Take his Russia advice, and you might get another Cold War. Two out of three of John McCain's suggestions for how to aid the conflict in Ukraine and Russia are bad, and if the U.S. isn't careful, we may end up involved more involved than it can afford to be.
Bam, 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 Iran.
And he writes, please, Washington, don't listen to John McCain. The leader of the Capitol's Bombs Away Caucus said... Anyway, it was he did say it was a relief to see McCain at least acknowledging there's no plausible military option, so that's progress. But the steps McCain advises are certain to heighten tensions and probably start a new Cold War, which is surely what the thuggish Putin wants. It's most definitely not what the United States should want, and at exactly a time when the Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has proposed we should be reducing the size of our military and the reach of our global commitments. McCain floated three notions: tougher sanctions against Russia and its higher-ranking officials, NATO membership for Georgia, expanded and sped up missile defense systems in Europe. The first is unobjectionable. The world has to do something here, and sanctions are that something. If we can't prevent Putin from engaging in this kind of aggression, and face it, we can't, we can at least do what we can to harm his economy and limit the foreign travel of his high government officials. But Georgia in NATO and missile defense, McCain and other hawkish types have been banging that gong for years now, and that's true. We have to express disapproval, and we should impose sanctions. Beyond that, there just isn't much we can do, and there isn't much we should do. Anyway, and then he mentions yesterday Putin accepted Angela Merkel and Angela.
Angela Merkel.
Right.
She's not Spanish.
I know.
I don't know why everyone pronounces her name Angela. That's because it sounds foreign.
I don't know.
Yeah, like people say Munich. There's no such place as Munich. It's München.
Anyway, her mediation offer for a contact group to discuss the crisis, suggesting perhaps his aims here, however repugnant, may fall short of world domination. You said, Chris, that, you know, let's see. He appears to maybe be softening his stance. Who knows who you can trust?
No, certainly. My stance is very hard. Look at my stance.
Yeah, but like that last caller said,
Lindsey Graham would call him.
I just think we need to be careful about aligning ourselves with any side in this situation.
I stand by my thought yesterday, and that is that he would take a call from Lindsay Lohan before he would take a call from Lindsey Graham.
As well he should.
Oh, Graham? Niet. Lohan?
Lohan. Da.
Da. Duh.
Duh. He said, we don't have to like Putin or what he's doing here, but let's not pretend who controls the Crimea is a question of first-rank global importance, and let's not play into Putin's grubby hands. Demagogues only gain power when they can whip their people into a frenzy about an outside enemy. Obama must not help him and mustn't let himself get cowed by a hectoring neocon right into saying things he shouldn't say. Michael Kamiansky. I love.
Yes.
Marguerite in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marguerite.
I
love hearing me again. Hi, Marguerite. No. You hang on now, and I'll be right back to you. Let's go to, RW in Chattanooga. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, RW.
Kudos from the hometown of Samuel Jackson.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Are you sure you don't mean Morgan Freeman?
No.
Oh, Austin hell no. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman's from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The I read this somewhere, and I can't remember where. The gentleman, the prime minister or president that the men in black installed in Crimea. Now, while Crimea does have a strong affinity for Russia, that particular individual, his party only got like 4% in the last parliamentary election. So he's certainly a fringe candidate. You know, so there's a lot of nuances in it. Also, Ukraine has the misfortune not being in NATO. However, Estonia and Poland are, and if Russia doesn't stop at Ukraine, this thing could really go into a shooting match because we're obliged to defend NATO countries. And
right.
Mm-hmm. They want Estonia back.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the dangers. You know, it's who knows what's in it. I guess, well, why doesn't George Bush tell us what's in Putin's soul and what's happening here?
The less we hear from George Bush, the
also
better.
Also, in addition, how about Sarah Palin? Where's Caribou Barbie been?
Oh, Sarah Palin says that she predicted this 8 years ago.
Right, right.
Because I saw Putin's head rising above the Alaska.
And he told me. Okay.
God.
Sue in Cape Cod, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Stephanie. It's so wonderful to be on your show. First of all,
thank you.
Hello, Mook. Hello, Fred and Max.
Hi.
I see you on True TV. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
Free Speech TV.
Free Speech. Sorry. I was like, what? Am I on?
No, you're not on the
When did that happen?
Free Speech TV. It's fabulous. I love it when I'm home.
Thank you.
But anyway, I would like to just say two things. First of all, I'd like to be the official LGBT speech-language pathologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Very cool.
Awesome.
And secondly, I've got a good analogy for Chris.
Okay.
With the Crimea.
All right.
Yes.
Didn't we get Alaska from Russia?
Yes, we did. We bought it.
What if they want it back?
Russia wanted Alaska back.
As long as they get to take Sarah Palin, I say take it. Yeah. Give it to
them. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why that's not a good analogy, because the majority of Alaskans don't want to be a part of Russia again.
Yeah, but you know what? Even if a few did, who knows?
A few Crimeans don't want to be a part of Russia. The majority of Crimeans
want
to be a part of Russia.
Right, but say the majority of Alaskans did want to be back, want to be part
of
Russia.
But if they did.
If they did, then, you know, however moronic that is, then we should consider it.
And Russia can invade Alaska to take it back.
Yeah.
And by that analogy, if Spain wanted Florida back.
But see, we're in hypothetical land. A majority of Alaskans do not want to be a part of Russia.
But the whole point is that they have been invaded. And you can't do that in a sovereign nation. You just can't.
Now we're also talking semantics. Russia is saying that they're helping the Russian people of Crimea become a part of Russia again.
Well, here's what they want to do. They can
barrel
move.
Of a gun?
They can move. They can move to Russia if they love Russia so much.
What?
Go to Russia.
Right. I'm just saying, I thought my analogy, I think my original iPad probably loved me better than you because it knew that you were going to give it to some scuzzy ex of yours. And so, I think my iPad wanted to be back with me, so if I'd broken into your house with the barrel of the gun, taking my iPad back.
No sense.
That makes
all.
No sense.
So Jim, you just finish your crossword and stay out of this.
My iPad isn't capable of being a part of your house, wanting to be a part of your house again.
It knew how you were going to disrespect it.
Now you're making it
your iPod
now,
is a soul.
Yeah, now you're making it anthropomorphic, and so you're crazy.
By the way, the Russians.
By the way, that ex was a douche.
The Russians actually went fairly far into California. That's why there's places like Sevastopol and the Russian River in Northern California.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Crimea, Russian River. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour.
That's all Putin wants to do is zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
Right.
In the Ukraine.
Right, exactly. Oh, Chris and Yankton on our last caller's analogy.
Yeah, he said the callers are really struggling with bad analogies this morning. I think the last caller tripped on her own analogy, was pinned underneath it, pulled an entire china cabinet of dishes on top of herself, then opened Fibber McGee's closet for good measure. And then afterwards, a drunk Paris Hilton stumbled in, passed out on the heap, puked, and had her bra fall off. But other than that, it was a great analogy.
Oh, shush. I thought it was good. Okay. You know, I do miss a good drunken ladder analogy from John Boner. Remember that one? Dear God. Remember about the people need a ladder up?
Oh, yes.
Job, but if you don't have a...
Need a ladder to get up when it's trying to get a nice bottle of beer on the wall.
Right, some of the rungs are missing because of socialist president then. Oh, that was awesome. That went on for like 45 seconds. You're just like, what the hell are you talking about?
See a ladder when you can't... You step up to the... Yeah.
Right. Splat. Okay, the president on Ukraine.
One thing they can do right away is to work with the administration to help provide a package of assistance to the Ukrainians, to the people and that government.
Oh, and I'm sure Senator Graham would like to immediately be helpful in any way he can.
Sure.
To Putin. Okay, John Kerry.
And there are visa bans, there are asset freezes, there is isolation with respect to trade and investment.
Donald in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hello,
oh, Don. Oh, Don.
He got scurred.
He got scurred of my. Let's see, Marguerite in, did I already take that one? Marguerite in Connecticut, there you go.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, great. You know, I really want to know how John Kerry kept a straight face when he was spouting that incredible hypocritical nonsense. And, by the way, Stephanie, you're very sexy.
Thank you.
And I just recently found out about your show, and I've been watching it.
Thank you.
But also I want to suggest that where was John Kerry when the poor Bahrainians, when their brutal dictator unleashed his version of shock and awe on those protesters? Where was the United States standing up for those people just demanding simple democracy? And when Khrushchev put missiles on Cuba 90 miles away, mm-hmm. our original sexy liberal, he put the whole world at risk because he had to protect our country. Well, doesn't Putin have his version of the Monroe Doctrine, something like maybe, I don't know, a DACA doctrine? I just think that our involvement in Ukraine is not based on the health of Ukrainians, but simply on our brutal form of taking whatever we can.
My head hurts.
Kind of lost the thread there.
A minute.
Wait, huh?
Us taking? Khrushchev, we're not the ones
missiles in Cuba?
That invaded Ukraine.
What?
It had something to do with the Monroe Doctrine, though, and I think that's important.
Monroe Doctrine doesn't.
What? Liz in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Liz.
Well, good morning, Steph. Love you, Mama. I've been watching since the 2012 campaign season. And good morning, Moogs and Max and Fred and everyone. And I hope you'll come to Missouri someday. We would love to have you here.
Okay.
As far as Ukraine, no one has really even talked about the Crimean Tatars. They were the original people who were there. Stalin shipped them out to Central Asia in 1944, and they've been filtering back in since the fall of the Soviet Union, and they'd probably like to have their language respected. The Russian speakers, our language is being attacked and all that. These people are kind of stuck in the middle, and they were there long before the Russians ever got there, too.
I don't know that ties into what's going on there right this second, though. But it is something that probably needs to be looked at after things settle down.
Orest is Ukrainian, so there, everybody. Hi,
yes.
Orest in Ohio.
Hi, how you doing? Good. On behalf of Travis, I have to say that, Chris, you're a moron. To think, that just to make Travis's day. I think you're not really a moron, but to think that a peninsula that comes out of the southern border of a country that is Ukraine on the east side of the peninsula, Ukraine on the west side of the peninsula, but isn't Ukraine, then there's something wrong with you. I mean, here's an analogy.
More analogies.
Yeah, and I think we own Texas. But if you go to Mexico City, I'm sure that they think we should give Texas back to them because they still think they own it. When I was coming up as
that's
a kid,
not really true.
I got.
And a majority of Texans don't want to be a part of Mexico.
Yeah, and Crimea does not want to be a part of Russia.
So there. Charlie Pierce next.
Stephanie Miller.
She is sexy, though. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Why, thank you, Natan, for Googling that very interesting statistic. What
was it, 48%?
Chris Lavoie said that a majority of people in Crimea want to be part of Russia again. Oh, I'm sorry, it's what now? Oh, 42%. Thank you for doing that
42%.
Basic producing work.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that 58% of the Crimeans want that
to be, right.
Yeah. Right. I don't, last I checked, 42%, it's not a majority.
That still means that
significant
the Alaska analogy is a pretty crappy analogy.
Well, Natan,
42% of Alaskans do not want to be
so
a part of Russia.
Handsome, his OJ analogy
was
perfect.
Oh my God, Natan, I'm leaving. You can come over here and run the board.
No,
I'm leaving.
Press the Charlie button first. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why,
is everybody always laughing with me?
Welcome to the Food Fight, Charlie Pierce. Grab a handful of mashed potatoes.
Behave.
Grab some mashed potatoes.
Somebody needs a timeout there, Mr. Lavoie.
What? Stephanie doesn't need a timeout. Okay.
Well,
we
gave up on Stephanie long ago. We're just passing her up through the grates so we can get rid of her.
Aw, your family, Charlie. I love you.
I have not been listening. What are we arguing about?
Ukraine, by the way, I have to play this for you because you write, Huckleberry J. Butch Me Up is feeling a rush of blood to his head. Here he is. Hang on. Here it is.
Well, number one, stop going on television and trying to threaten thugs and dictators. It is not your strong suit. Every time the president goes on national television and threatens Putin or anyone like Putin, everybody's eyes roll, including mine. Especially we have a weak and indecisive president that invites aggression.
As you write, Osama bin Laden's eyes rolled in his head and stayed there. But it was such a shock that Lindsey Graham would feel the president's doing something wrong, right?
Yes, leadership. We need leadership. What does it mean? Well, nobody's really sure, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. He's. I was saying earlier, he's sort of like a chick that when she sees a mouse, that's all I'm saying. Ow! Somebody do something! Like, what would you do, Lindsey, really?
Eek, a mouse!
Eek! As you were saying, and you were talking about your review of the Sunday shows, my man Chuck Todd has grown impatient. My man Chuck Todd wants action. And you say, this is not the first time with Putin. Putin acts, Obama warns. Putin acts, Obama warns. But I love how the lack of specificity of what you would do, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are policy alternatives, certainly, and they're talking about them. But, I mean, this idea that there is something, that if we, for example, had blown the hell out of a bunch of Syrians, that this wouldn't have happened is just silly.
Yeah.
That's not the way people think.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, this was ridiculous.
And somebody is going to have to tell me what precisely our national security interest in the Ukraine is. That's another question. I mean, how is this threatening us?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And you quoted Marco Rubio on the Sunday show. He said, well, I think our policy towards Russia under this administration deserves a heavy amount of criticism. I usually shy away from that in moments of crisis when it's important for the nation to speak with one voice. As you say, Mr. Passive, I'd like you to meet Mr. Aggressive. I mean, talk about like having it every way.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, and of course, the obvious thought experiment is what if this was a Republican president and Democratic, you know, senators were saying the same thing. Oh my lord, undermining the president and national on foreign policy at a time of crisis.
Yeah, there might as well be a Dixie chick.
That's right. Throw them into dungeons immediately.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, George Bush said,
I'm vamping here because I don't know what the hell to do over there either.
I know. Well, I love, you're right. I was just, somebody sent me the whole bunch of pictures of George W. and Putin dressed in matching outfits.
Oh, from the summits.
When he was talking about, I looked in his eyes and I saw his soul, and that was fine for everybody in the right wing, right? I mean.
They have to decide sooner or later whether this guy is the new Stalin or just the guy they want to take to prom.
Yeah. I mean, and speaking of our statue.
I mean, there's a real kind of man crush going on among, I mean, what was it? Charles Krauthammer, not 3 weeks ago, was writing an entire column about the difference in leadership.
Right.
This is a bold leader. You know, this is a guy who, while we don't like what he's doing, we can really admire as a leader.
Yeah, that was, boy, he took a speed thug dictator course, didn't he?
He did.
That in 3 weeks. That really is shocking. I love, speaking of George W. and, you know, who has hurt our position in the world, you quoted John Kerry as saying, you don't in the 21st century behave in a 19th century fashion by invading another country on completely trumped up pretext.
Hmm.
Yikes.
Wow.
You say, I like John Kerry. Truly, I do. And I think he's doing a good job managing an impossible situation. But holy God, how he managed to say this without his tongue turning to fire is beyond me. I mean... Yeah, and I love that you know, the right wing spin is that it's President Obama that's ruined our reputation in the world.
Yeah,
right?
I mean that's the problem. It's not the fact that we cannot make that the argument John Kerry made with any credibility at all ever again.
Yeah,
that is the problem.
Yeah, I wonder if anything happened in his thought bubble right after that.
I have to believe he when the lights went down, he went back to the green room to get his coat. He went, oh jeez,
what the. All right, here is John McCain.
His hand went to his remarkably smooth forehead and went, oh.
Oh, yeah, Senator John McCain.
This is the ultimate result of a feckless foreign policy where nobody believes in American life anymore.
Somebody give Grandpa some soup.
Or maybe a nice corn paste. yeah. And by the way, what does that mean? He said that. So what does feckless mean exactly?
Oh, I mean, it means... frivolous. It means, essentially trivializing, something major.
It's so the opposite of effectful.
It's an ineffective response.
The opposite of effectful, yes.
It would be better if it were effectful.
Yeah. Which in Ireland means something completely
different.
Talk
radio does run a lot of commercials for men who are feckless in certain ways.
But Charlie.
Yes, they do.
Grampy's not done.
Thank you, Chris.
Grampy's not done yet.
The only guy who listens to the segment, I swear to God.
Grampy's not done.
The President of the United States believes that the Cold War is over. That's fine. It is over. But Putin doesn't believe it's over.
Yeah. Hell then. And okay. It's over, except it's not in Vladimir Putin's mind.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
I was
going to
go there. Yeah. It really was.
And he was talking to APEC yesterday, and we know how they are.
Yeah.
They like the bombs.
Has anyone not informed him that he did not, that he's not president, that he lost?
Somebody's going to have to tell him eventually, because he's just and of course our friend from Alaska has jumped in too.
Oh yes,
who I will be seeing, by the way. I am going to CPAC this week.
Oh dear God!
Really?
Oh yes. Dear God!
Oh, you poor thing.
I can CPAC from my house.
Oh man, everybody's there. Are you kidding? Everyone's giving speech. Everybody on the Republican side is giving speeches. It's great.
Really? Who?
It's one stop shopping. Oh Lord. Palin is the keynote.
Yeah.
Christie has been invited this year because the right people are angry at him. They wouldn't invite him last year.
Right.
Christie's there. Rand Paul's there. Paul Ryan's there. The Huck is there. I think Rubio is there. Oh, I mean, it's a smorgasbord.
Wow. And, you'll have to report to John Fugelsang because he'll be filling in for us next week.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because we got to hear all the stories on that.
People were burying themselves in his hair in Fort Lauderdale. Did I hear that right?
Yes. Yes. That was my favorite sexy liberal Facebook comment is I want to John Fugelsang's hair.
Oh, God.
Because it's true. Yeah, a woman rushed the stage and just shoved her in her face.
Hair.
Yeah, it is. Well, he's all of him is beautiful. Anyway, Charlie, let's get back to the main. What the heck is? I was reading something that among Romney donors, Jeb Bush is their top choice now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean that makes sense for people like high money Romney donors, because they aren't going to give their money to crazy people.
Right.
I mean, the crazy people depend on getting like one guy like Foster Freeze or Adelson or somebody.
Right.
But the real corporate end is looking for somebody, and it doesn't look like it's going to be Chris Christie anymore. And Jeb, of course, Jebby's going to have to clear it with Mom.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't get that woman angry.
Yeah, she has Bush fatigue, you know. Just fill in your own joke there. Anyway, right, never mind.
What?
Charlie Pierce, good luck at CPAC.
We'll talk to you next week.
No.
Are you on vacation? Is everybody on vacation?
We're all on vacation. Yeah, John Fugelsang will be filling in for us. Fabulous. He'll be dying to talk to you.
Excellent.
All right, honey. Love you. See
Take
ya.
Care.
There he goes. It is Charlie Pierce. Wah, 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 wah. I'm going to go to whoever has an analogy just to make you mad. Let's see, Justin.
Oh, Lord.
Just kidding. Justin, I did that wrong. Justin in Huntington Beach. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys, what's happening? I just kind of wanted to point out a couple of things when we talk about sanctions against Russia. You know, it's going to have to really go through the UN. And since they're a permanent member of the Security Council, they can veto any sanctions that obviously the international community would put on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could act unilaterally and stop selling them billions of dollars. You know, they buy hundreds of billions of dollars on a monthly basis of American currency to prop up their banks. We could stop that here, but then I think if we did that, they'd retaliate against probably our closest ally in Europe, which is Germany, by cutting off their heating oil supply.
Mm-hmm.
Because Germany gets 40% of their heating oil from
Gazprom.
Russia.
Yeah.
So, it's a sticky situation because there really is no international way to do this, except for each country imposing sanctions on their own against Russia outside of the UN. And that's something that's not being talked about, and it needs to be talked about, because the simple fact is there's not much we can do if they have veto power. And, I'd like to thank Chris for always doing the chat room. He does a great job.
Hi.
They have a lot of Island of Misfit Toys over there. Sue's there.
Yep.
Mike is there. There's all kinds of us. But one thing that might solve the problem, I remember when George Bush looked deep into Pooty Poot's eyes and said he was a good man.
Saw his soul.
Maybe they could get together and go to like a Romanian bathhouse and work it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And just beat each other with birch branches.
And back rubbing and things like that.
Just hug it out, bitch.
Other than that, though, there's not really much we can do except, like I said, we can freeze their financial assets over here. We can stop them from trading on our market. And we could stop selling them currency. But other than that, there's not much the United States can do by itself without the UN.
Yep.
So I guess that is
Yep.
My point.
Yep. Thank you, honey.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Exactly. We, you know, it's, listen, we've had polar vortexes. We can just freeze their assets off because it's, I don't know.
Not the same kind of freeze.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, everybody go to see the new pictures for Sexy Liberal up at sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook from Fort Lauderdale. The a good time was had by all, off the hook, as the kids are saying, right? Did I get that wrong? Okay. Madison's been sold out forever in March, but Sexy Liberal Chicago, the big one in April, is coming up. Sexy Liberal Albuquerque, May 10th. All these tickets going very fast. These shows always sell out, so I would go, hurry, and make sure you're going to the official links. Don't go to scalper sites. Sexy Liberal Minneapolis is Saturday, June 7th. But the next one up that you can buy tickets for...
Chicago. In the coming months, let's see where we can make progress together. Let's make this a year of... Let's make this a year of sexy liberals. That's what most Americans want.
That's right. Land of Lincoln, home of our president. On April 26th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its triumphant return to Chicago.
It should read, tonight only...
Stephanie Miller's
triumphant return.
John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and progressive radio and television star Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com and at the Chicago Theater box office. Don't miss Stephanie Miller's own twist on Chicago-style politics.
Politics ain't beanbag.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live April 26th at the Chicago Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Woot!
Woot! Woot! All right, 47 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. There's breaking gay news.
Yeah, out of Kentucky, the Attorney General says that Kentucky won't appeal the order to recognize gay marriages from other states. So that's good news.
Hooray. Hooray.
So if you get married in another state where it's legal and you move to Kentucky, the state will recognize it.
Yay.
Will Mitch McConnell recognize it?
Okay. Thank you, Mitch. By the by, Judson Phillips, the Tea Party Nation president.
Him.
That's another breaking gay news.
Mm.
He's
gay?
No.
Oh.
He was criticizing Jan Brewer for vetoing the Turn Away the Gays bill in Arizona. And he said Brewer has essentially sold Arizona Christians into slavery.
Ah, right.
Hyperbole much? Without a law protecting discrimination, bakers will be forced to create a cake for homosexual wedding that has a giant phallic symbol on it, he warned.
Phallic.
And photographers will have to photograph.
Okay.
Not like I've seen one or whatever in a while. Photographers will have to photograph a homosexual wedding where participants can decide they want to be nude or engage in sexual behavior. As most everyone does at their wedding. What?
This is a case where it sounds like this guy has hijacked the original intent of the Tea Party, which was less taxes and whatnot. They have hijacked it into some kind of social crap, right-wing social crap.
Wow,
that has nothing to do with.
Some people are stumbling into some bad analogies on our show about Ukraine this morning. U.S. Senate hopeful Matt Bevin, who is currently teabagging Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
It's hard to do to a turtle.
He said of gay marriage, so a person may want to define themselves as being married to one of their children so they can then, in fact, pass on certain things to that child financially or otherwise. Where do we draw the line? See? There's that slippery slope argument. People can marry their kids, you see. Once we start allowing...
I don't recommend your tea bag a snapping turtle. That would not end well.
That could hurt.
Ow. Wowee. And then also here in other War on Women news.
Yeah.
They just keep killing the autopsy over and over again. Tuesday, Virginia Republican Party Treasurer Bob Fitzsimmons Let's see. He was responding with a Facebook post in support of GOP women, and in particular, U.S. House hopeful Barbara Comstock.
Oh, her.
She said, I have nothing against Barbara Comstock, but I hate sexist.
Oh.
It called her, it's the T word for a woman's area.
That's not
he,
helpful.
He removed the post and replaced it with an apology. The apology's always better. Saying he had intended to use the word twaddle.
Uh-huh. Right. Sure.
Meaning, you know, foolish speech, and that my post was not about Barbara Comstock.
Whatever.
Barbara Comstock's the woman who talks
she's a
like
dumb
this.
Twaddle. Sure, that sounds right. Plausible that that's what you
you're meant. Lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
See, there's a new word for you when you get mad at me. Hush, you twaddle.
The C word was pretty effective when I called you that.
But just if you want an on-air word is what I'm
oh,
saying.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay.
clearly, there is nothing that could get you fired. Lurless, we haven't reached it yet. Unless you, like, pee on me on the air. I don't know. Kelly in West...
Who knows? You may enjoy it. Because you like to be peed on in the shower.
I don't know. Only by me. Kelly in, Kelly in West Virginia. I'm saving water. I'm environmentally friendly.
How are you?
Hi, Kelly.
I would like to address Chris on something. I don't have an analogy for him.
Thank God.
I'm sorry. I know you're looking for a couple of facts for him. I've been to Russia 3 different times. Mm-hmm. I've been to Ukraine 4 times. Mm-hmm. Because my father had a PhD in agriculture and specialized in animal husbandry. So I got to travel across the world with him, you know, as he spread his message or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And until you're there, you really can't say that Russia's not a third world nation. Besides the billionaire boomtown, you know, there's 70% of another country there that no one ever sees, where they don't have running water, mm-hmm. where they only have electricity 4 hours a day, where you can cruise down the Volga River and see turds and colored flying toilet paper floating in the river. So until you go there, reserve your opinion on their status in the world economy. Number two, on Crimea.
That wasn't condescending.
And I would appreciate it if you wouldn't interrupt me like you did the other caller.
Okay. All right, Kelly. I won't interrupt you.
Okay. The first thing that you need to think about being a gay man, Chris, is there are homosexuals in Crimea, and they definitely don't want to be a part of Russia.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
They definitely don't want to be ruled by a country that wants them to be beat. So put your little facts to the side and think of the gay people there.
All right, now he's irritating me too, okay. Normally I like it when somebody gives you but that was irritating. Okay.
He's not third in Volga River, he's fish.
It's brown fish. Eat it, you'll like it.
Eat it.
He's brown-eyed mullet, as they call in Australia.
Okay, Peggy in Texas real quick. Hi, Peg, go ahead.
Hi, y'all. I'm totally against war. I think Putin is a doofus. However, for the sake of argument, this might be like your analogy earlier. Suppose that idiot, Rick Perry, managed to have Texas secede from the Union, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would want the United States to invade us and take us back.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I mean, you know, it's kind of the same thing, even though I think it's totally ridiculous, but I like arguments.
Okay.
No, you
don't. Don't we all? No, you don't.
Shut up.
You shut up. You
no,
started
you
it. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What is it?
Did that condescending call really happen?
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
Did you enjoy it?
Now, I went there because my dad did animal husbandry.
He's going to need you to move along into storage.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Yes, okay.
We've got some animal husbandry people coming in.
Okay. 7 minutes.
I don't care who you're married to.
People don't get all on their high horse over foreign policy, don't they?
Apparently.
Apparently. I have traveled. So
there, that makes me a foreign policy expert.
Exactly. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out, the website. You can email us all there. Like Damien did. Steph, do you know if Free Speech TV will be an Android or iTunes app anytime soon? I don't have a Roku, but I do have those other things.
I don't think they have Natan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Free Speech TV has an app for Android or iOS, but you can download the live stream app and search for the Stephanie Miller Show or any other Free Speech shows on there, and you can watch it on your mobile device.
There you
go. Don't bother with the Deadstream app.
And you can watch it on StephanieMiller.com, and the best idea, I think, is you can buy the newly available videocast. It's commercial-free.
Whoa!
Our version of our show. It takes out all the,
crap.
Extraneous parts, like when Chris talks. So all the good stuff is left in. Because it's 3 hours, our show. It's a lot of packing material and stuff.
Yeah, star
for
peanuts.
You say things, and I don't know. So all that's just sucked out, isn't it, Natan?
Natan just leaves in Stephanie and Natan.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is blah, 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 yada, 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 yada.
And the brilliant
blah, blah,
Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward.
Except for when Jim, today, agrees with me.
And any shot of Max and Fred. I'm not sure he does. He was engrossed in his crossword puzzle. He was barely on your side.
Well,
okay.
No, I mean, 42% is not a majority, but it's a significant number.
Yeah.
Right. Of people in Crimea. Oh, you said the majority wants to be part of Russia. 42%. Okay. Donovan, more importantly, something that can distract us, a shiny thing.
Oh.
It's not a kitty video, but it's a dog video.
Oh.
My mini schnauzer thinks snow is a toy. Hi, Steph and Chris. I heard you, because I had a mini schnauzer, Katie, who used to sing Mona Lisa along with my mother, who sang it really badly. Every time she sat down at the piano, my dad would go, just we need another Pollock on the piano. Anyway, that was my dad. I had Katie and Kim. Anyway, I heard you mention mini schnauzers. I thought I would share this video of my mini schnauzer, Ewok, catching snowballs in slow motion. Oh, no, it was cute. Ewok. Thanks. Okay. Do you have happy joy? Dave is having Roku joy. Yay, I'm so happy. I used to have to listen to the car on Sirius, which I still do, but now I can also watch the fun on his Roku. It's a happy, happy joy thing when you get your first Roku. Okay, let's see. Steph, Becky says, I think we would all enjoy a weekly Travis's Adventures on the Phones. I think we should try that. Love you. See you in Chicago in April. Yay! Chicago in April! Go!
Yay!
Oh, all right. Somebody rounded up some of the best.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy.
Just loaded.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
Boy, Natan, I bet you would have found that faster than you found that statistic.
Oh, I found it.
From the Ukraine. Okay, the Oscars. Most talked about moments. We mentioned a couple of these yesterday. I think I actually heard the audio of John Travolta. Someone was saying, wow, this is proof that maybe he's not gay because...
He doesn't know who Idina Menzel is, yeah.
He doesn't know how to pronounce a Broadway singer's name? She's a fan from Wicked? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
He pronounced Idina Menzel Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Wow.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. And now at Slate.com, there's a John Travolta Adele Dazeem name generator. So you put in your own name, and it spits out what John Travolta would say.
That's great.
I think I got Craig Gonzalez.
And somebody tweeted about that sad little picture. Poor Liza Minnelli tried really hard to get into Ellen's ultimate selfie. They shot it from behind, and she was too short. She was trying to reach up, and she just could not. Poor Liza.
She represents the lollipop girl.
Yeah, maybe now she's short enough to play one of the, ironically, in the Wizard of Oz, her mother's. Okay.
Oh.
People were wondering why Cate Blanchett graciously complimented all the other women in the category, and then she said, Julia, hashtag suck it. You know what I mean?
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. And then so they asked her about that later, and Cate Blanchett said, it happened in the bar with Ms. Roberts, and that's all I'm prepared to say.
I'm sure it was an inside joke between the two of them.
How ruthlessly absurd and elegant. I don't. That could mean any number of things in the bar. I don't know.
She was on Ellen DeGeneres. Cate Blanchett was on Ellen DeGeneres' show yesterday, and I want to have a drink with her. She looks so much fun.
Yeah, so you know who else does? Is Jennifer Lawrence is ridiculously charming.
Yeah.
Bob Arnold, Mel in the Oregon. Hello, Mel.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Mel.
I had to get the TV off.
Okay.
We watched Hannity last night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because, my husband says we shouldn't get all our news from lesbians.
That's kind of funny,
that's
actually.
True. That is true. That is true.
He had Sarah Palin on to talk about the crisis in Crimea.
Mm-hmm.
And same old talking points, new hairdo, which I assume is for CPAC. And she said we shouldn't be leaving from behind, and we should finish the Keystone Pipeline because that'll make all the difference in the world.
Yes, it will.
Unless you
and,
like to breathe.
And he also had Oliver North on. And and I kept waiting for Hannity to bring out a map of the world and ask Sarah Palin where Ukraine was, but he didn't.
Because, she's one of those U.S. Americans that is not familiar with maps.
With maps.
Okay.
I don't care about Ukraine. I don't care about the Mekraine.
She's too self-centered to care about Ukraine. Hello, Bob in Illinois. Hello.
Hello. And I've got to differ with you a little bit on when we do any invasions, because we wouldn't know anyway. Back in 91 when Yeltsin was riding around on the tank, fortunately we didn't have a Secretary of State over there. But on the news, right before I called, AP News, I hear that we're sending them aid to straighten out their finances, which includes advisors. Now, back in 91, we sent Yeltsin at the expense of the State Department. We hired Solomon Brothers. So I got on CompuServe and searched for Solomon Brothers in the previous year's news. And in the previous year's news, Solomon Brothers had hit general news, not financial news, but general news three times. Once for getting the State Department contract, and once for cheating the Treasury on Treasury bill auctions. They were essentially the Cantor Fitzgerald of Treasury bills. Back in 91, and they were fixing the auction. And the third time they hit the news was a case with the chief exec secretary being sexually harassed. Now, I don't know, but maybe the reason the Russians are having trouble is because we helped them out so much after the Soviet Union fell apart.
Okay, good point. Sort of.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Also on time at band camp.
Also?
Was it me or did it seem like he was making announcements, like, at school?
Attention Rydell High. I remember one time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Okay. All right. That was mean, y'all. Okay.
Well, it is a lot to say very loudly and slowly. And another thing.
Next stop, Yonkers.
And it was a really thick Chicago accent.
The guy there and the tube was saying, and I thought,
I'm on camp, you serve.
Foreign policy is not my favorite topic.
It's important to know that I went on CompuServe because otherwise you will not get the point.
went on.
What?
Never mind. I'm done. That's mean. That's mean, y'all.
Oh, I'm sure he had a point.
Right. Right. Greg in Pennsylvania. Hi, Greg.
Good morning, campers.
Thank you. Good morning.
Greetings from the mountains of Pennsylvania. We're still snowing.
Anyhow,
I'm a disabled retired Vietnam veteran, and I've noticed several times today you guys mentioned, and it's been mentioned in newspapers and stuff, that we're going to be sending $1 million over to the Ukraine to assist these folks.
Well, that hasn't been, I don't think that's been approved by Congress yet.
Okay. Well, it more than likely will be, I mean, knowing them, the way they act. But they're doing it on the backs of veterans like myself. They're cutting, you know, our TRICARE. Mm-hmm. They want to give pay cuts. They're messing with people's retirement benefits. People are still in the service. They're cutting back on their housing affairs like that. They're closing commissaries, or they want to close commissaries over the next couple of years. How do we justify giving other people money when we keep taking it away from ourselves? Especially the veterans.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And by the way, you know, one place I think we should cut off aid to is Uganda. I mean, how do you...
Why are we giving money to them?
Yeah, why? I was looking, I can't remember the number, but I was like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where the party's at, and you find out if you do that. I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, I'm sorry, Bob in Chicago, you had some other thoughts?
I was going to say, you know, about that thing you were talking about back then. I booted up the Commodore 64.
Right.
And went on CompuServe. And I found out that that thing you were talking about was a different thing altogether, and that you're full of crap.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Could you say that louder, Bob? I didn't quite get that.
And furthermore.
Oh, and what's for lunch in the schoolroom?
Tater tots, pigs in blankets, and applesauce.
Putting in a cloud.
And putting in a cloud. I'm not sure what that is.
Okay.
I'll have to go on CompuServe and research it.
Oh, God.
Tater tots. That's good news. Okay.
Tater tot casserole.
Robert in Florida has an analogy.
Oh, God, no!
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Steph. Saturday, I was there. I keep seated with my wife and my aunt and uncle. They love you.
Aw, good. Thank you, honey. Sexy Liberal Fort Lauderdale. We love you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Chris, analogy time.
Okay.
You're from Arizona. Well, you're a home state of Arizona, coupled with New Hampshire, New Mexico, and Utah, and parts of Nevada. We're taken over from Mexico under false premise. So let's just play this analogy out a little farther. I know that was 120, 30 years ago, but the population of that southwest of America is still very heavily Spanish, Mexican American.
Yes, but the vast majority of them do not want to return to Mexico. The vast majority.
But today, that's it. Today they don't want to go back. But 20 years of bad economic and maybe 20 years of brainwashing from a Fox News source, and anything can happen.
Now you're in hypothetical land, dude. This is the worst analogy yet.
How's that?
This is the worst analogy yet, because you go from a bad analogy to a complete hypothetical.
Well, it's a hypothetical, what you're saying. What you're saying is a hypothetical. Those people were brought into to the Ukraine by Russia to cultivate and live there and become a Russian-Ukrainian. And then what? They do a Detroit move on them. They give them a lot of debt on them, and then all of a sudden they can't pay it back. And now they got turmoil and trice in the street.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much and seen on the analogy.
Yeah. Okay. I've managed to shoot down every single analogy.
I think the point is, What did the Monroe Doctrine have to do with that?
Well,
okay.
We shouldn't...
Well, the only Monroe Doctrine I'm interested in is the one that, well, you know.
Yes, Marilyn.
Marilyn Monroe. That was a Kennedy impression that he just threw in. Okay.
Yes.
All right. The United States should hold off on punishing Russia until the European Union is on board with a specific response to the growing crisis in Ukraine, said Harry Reid yesterday. He said Congress should let the situation play out for a while before trying to impose any new sanctions on Russia. Yeah, Lindsay. You're, do something! Just
because you can do anything
for
as
a
long
second.
As it's manly.
Just
eat your mouse.
No, you have to do something now! It's going to get on me.
Not in the face.
Oh, I saw a bug. Mr. President, get a tissue. Kill it! The most important thing for us, the United States, is to make sure we don't go off without the European community. I think that is true.
Uh-huh.
That is wise. What?
And the European community gets a lot of its energy from Russia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Thank you.
If it were a Facebook status, it would be, it's complicated.
It's complicated. Okay. I love this headline, because we were saying it doesn't matter what the president does, it's wrong. To everyone in the right wing. Daryl Issa disputes Washington Post 4 Pinocchio rating and is awarded 8 Pinocchios.
Wow. Meaner. So there.
8 Pinocchios and...
Yes, given to him by the Washington Post fact-checker Glenn Kessler. 4 noses, of course, is the highest level of falsehood, causing Kessler to retry the case and re-award 8 Pinocchios.
He who doles out the Pinocchios has all the power.
That's right. He Issa disagreed with Kessler's rating on his previous statements on Benghazi, one about whether then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton issued a stand-down order the night of the attack, and a second about the provenance of a House report that confirmed that she did not. Because you, in fact...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Yeah, but Monica gave Bill... She can't be president.
Uh-oh, yes, it's a weird voice. Oh, hey, looky here. Speaking of right-wing news, GOP finally goes too far on Obamacare. Why the 50th repeal vote is not the charm. Did you know we're about to hit 50? This week, you're likely to read stories and headlines suggesting the House Republicans will be voting to repeal the Affordable Care Act once again, or are approaching their 50th repeal vote, or some variation thereof. President Obama said the other day, you know what they say, 50th time's the charm. Maybe when you hit your 50th repeal vote, you'll win a prize. Maybe if you buy 50 repeal votes, you get one free. What a bunch of doofi. Plural doofuses. Doofi.
Okay.
29 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska of the Daily Banter next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sweet liberty, I feel like a prostitute.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our good friend Bob Seska joins us from the Daily Banter and Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Stephanie.
Bob, let's start, because we obviously just had the Oscars out here in Hollywood. I have to start with your Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot, 12 Years a Slave edition that you wrote. How could we have not seen this coming from Rush Limbaugh? You say not only did Limbaugh complain that not one conservative name was mentioned during last night's Academy Awards, he went on to say the only reason 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture because it had the word slave in the title.
Yeah, it's always a winner, right? You put slave in the title of anything, it's automatic Oscar gold. You know, it's exactly what you said. This is something that we should have seen coming down Main Street. As soon as 12 Years a Slave was even nominated, or as soon as it was even released, we knew Rush Limbaugh was going to say something crazy about it, and boy, he didn't disappoint.
Yeah, he said there was no, it didn't matter if it was good or bad. I haven't seen it. It was going to win. It had the magic word in the title, slave.
Yeah.
And as you helpfully Googled, 200 actually movies and TV words have had the word slave in them, and none of those have won Best Picture. So, huh?
Yeah. Amazingly. You know what else, Stephanie? Rush Limbaugh, I listened to the audio of this clip.
Yeah.
He is becoming Vincent D'Onofrio from Men in Black.
Yeah.
He's just becoming so slurry and just guttural, and everything's just like, bleh. I don't know what's going on with him, but fortunately, I read yesterday that more radio stations are dropping him.
Yeah, it's but yeah, I don't know why. You knew he would have something awful to say about that. All right, Bob Seska, we've been talking about Ukraine all morning, obviously, Crimea, yada, yada. Your headline, of course, President Obama is neither a weak, indecisive liberal nor a bloodthirsty, warmongering conservative. It's so hard when the cartoons on both sides are try to be so helpful, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, if you look on one side, this guy is a bloodthirsty baby killer. On the other side, he's, this dainty arugula eater who, could be knocked over with a stiff wind. And neither is really true. I mean, call me an Obama bot, but this is the reality of it. The guy's somewhere in between. Most presidents are, regardless of what party they're in. And, I think it all goes back to what the president said even, like, long before he was elected, but going back to 2003. He's not in favor of war. He's not opposed to war. He's just opposed to dumb war. And this would be a dumb war. And a single president has ever engaged Russia directly, at least post-World War II, Woodrow Wilson even, in battle. It just doesn't happen. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen here. It would be insane to do that.
Well, you were talking about, like everybody else, here he is, Lindsey Graham again.
Well, number one, stop going on television and trying to threaten thugs and dictators. It is not your strong suit. Every time the president goes on national television and threatens Putin or anyone like Putin, everybody eyes roll, including mine. We have a weak and indecisive president that invites aggression.
So you write, so Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, thanks Obama.
Right. That's the line. I mean, it's this tired old cliche of everything that's wrong, Obama's to blame. And it's so ridiculous, especially in this case.
Well, I mean, on Syria, they seemed on Putin's side almost. I mean, it's hilarious. We're, as you say, it's absurd. The blame for this, it ought to go where it belongs, on Putin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the McLaughlin Group recently, but it's basically like the rah-rah Putin roundtable. It's just everyone on that show, minus Eleanor Clift, loves Putin. And I'll be interested to see what they say this weekend, because he's been lionized on the right for so long as being this hero in Russia and this kind of a role model, and now he's done this. And by the way, no one saw this coming.
Right, and now he's a thug and a dictator, except it's Obama's fault.
Right. Yeah. He's weak and feckless and Hitler.
Exactly. So, I mean, but no one saw this coming. No one could have predicted that Putin was going to do this, mainly because Russia has always, even going back to Soviet Russia, has always been unpredictable. They've always been insecure about their power, so they lash out like this. It was the same with Afghanistan, when they went into Afghanistan. This is the same kind of move. And this is not the same as Saddam going into Kuwait. It's just,
right.
I mean, to even, compare an incursion like that to what Russia is doing in the Ukraine is absurd.
Well, yeah, I mean, although you say there's a very real chance that Crimea isn't Putin's last stop, if that's the case, Europe is under serious threat of war in and around the Balkans. But it goes to what your final point. You say pragmatism, not haste, is what is required now. And as you point out, no president obviously has ever been foolish enough to go to war with Russia. So you say if the litmus test of a strong and decisive president is whether he's willing to directly engage Russia militarily, then we've never had a strong or decisive president, right?
Yeah, it's insane. Anyone who says that we need to put boots on the ground or whatever cliche you want to come up with in Ukraine is insane. And they're deliberately misleading people about history and about the presidency and about foreign policy. This is just not what we do. We do not engage Russia directly. I mean, what's the slogan? Never get involved in a land war in Asia. Well, there's a reason for that. And especially against Russia. It's ridiculous. A massive nuclear power. We're going to engage them because they stepped foot in Crimea.
I just love though how you break down that I mean, and this is where I am, and again, I'm sure you and I get called Obama apologists every day, but it's just it is so true how he's been caught. You say you start the piece by saying if you were to ask Glenn Greenwald or David Sirota about President Obama, they tell you he's a bloodthirsty, warmongering murderer of women and children. But you know, you go on and on, but makes him a war criminal punishable by at least impeachment, arrest, and imprisonment. You say he's clearly a fanged, cloven-hoofed demon who indiscriminately launches hellfire missiles at anyone he decides he doesn't like. Yeah. You say, on the other hand, if you were to ask anyone on the far right, President Obama's an effete, dainty arugula eater whose spindly physical form, deliberative academic nature, and his flotilla of Hollywood fanboys make him a capitulating pacifist weak player on the international stage. I mean, it is amazing, right?
Well, it's not about being an Obama bot or not. I mean, any empirical analysis of this presidency shows that he's somewhere in between. I mean, that's just where he is. I mean, and these caricatures on the fringes really don't apply. It's all meant as, you know, a semantic or a persuasive argument, you know, in support of an agenda. But I mean, if you look at the presidency, Obama's presidency specifically, from an objective point of view, he's not. I mean, you know, on the one hand, he's been using drones quite thoroughly. But at the same time, he's also gotten us out of Iraq. I mean, we're pulling out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, like he said he would.
I mean, he's made some very smart moves when it comes to Libya, to Syria, maybe with Iran. You know, this is not, we're not talking about a demon. We're not talking about a pacifist either.
Yeah. Well, I was laughing. I thought that another story in the news today goes right to this point. It's on Think Progress headline. Conservatives outraged Obama is addressing problems they blamed on him. And we're talking about the, you know, my brother's keeper thing. In 2012, critics of President Obama attempted to dent his minority support by blaming him for high unemployment rates among women and racial minority groups. Now, as Obama's newly announced My Brother's Keeper initiative seeks to take aim at challenges facing boys and men of color, conservative writers are attacking him as divisive. In National Review, they wrote, the White House plan is government-sponsored discrimination. They go on to say, let's see, constitutionality decided it's divisive and unfair to have racially exclusive programs. And what kind of message is it given to blacks and Latinos when they're told that their young men are so problematic that they have to be singled out for special help to ensure they don't screw up? Well, I mean, this is a perfect example, right?
Yeah. Well, you can't win. I mean, you absolutely can't win. It's like with Lindsey Graham. I mean, was the president not supposed to say anything in response to Ukraine and Putin? Of course he was supposed to say something.
Yeah, imagine what Lindsey Graham would have said if he didn't say anything. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I mean, this is the way foreign policy works. This is how presidents should handle situations like this, to not respond, no matter what he does, he's kind of screwed. And there's really nothing he can do about it other than to just continue being the president.
Well, this is why this is dangerous, you know, as we say, Bob, past the you know, where the ocean ends, as we always talked about, because Lindsey Graham, to me, I always say, I think it bumps up at least against treason. You know, it just doesn't matter whether it's Syria or this. He never says, we stand with our president, you know, as Americans. He's the one that's almost inviting, you know what I mean? He's saying, oh, we have a weak in president that invites aggression, wink, wink.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whenever it suits his agenda. I mean, a year ago, I think it was February of 2012, he praised the president for the drone policy. So, I mean, he's either, you know, like we were saying, you can't win. You're either, you know, today he's weak. A year ago, he was this droning demon who was killing people 5,000 at a time. And that was Lindsey Graham, all coming from the same guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right.
Anyone who's thinking about invading Russia should read about Stalingrad.
Yeah,
exactly.
And ask someone from the Sixth Army. Oh, you can't. They're all dead.
Yeah. Exactly. Bob, great stuff as usual. We'll talk to you soon, honey.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. There you go. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo,
yes,
everybody. Right.
Mele kaliki maka.
Right. Means?
Merry Christmas.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Meke leka hi ni ho.
Hi-ho.
No.
Oh, God. No,
that's Christmas poo. Okay. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi, Steffi, Steffi.
Do you love me?
Steffi, Steffi, Steffi.
Do you care?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 15 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number, toll free from here. Oh, Bob from Chicago's back. Yeah, Bob, what else?
So, anyway, I was putting a floppy disk in my Commodore 64, and I was calling on CompuServe to do some research on the Ukraine.
Right.
Turns out there is no place called the Ukraine or the Mekraine, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for calling back. Get that additional information. Putting in a cloud for dessert.
Yum.
In the cafeteria. That's great. Okay.
The recipe is at craft.com if you'd like to get the recipe for putting in a cloud.
Well, I went on CompuServe to find the craft recipe, and apparently it no longer exists there on their website there at craft.
All right. I sure hope Bob is coming to sexy little Chicago.
After this, he's not. No.
I bet she is.
I bet she's not.
I'm going to bring that to do Q&A with him on stage so we can talk to each other on an even playing field. Aww, Scott in Madison. Steph and the guys, looking forward to the Madison show. We're going to make a weekend out of it. We even got a hotel room with a nice view of the Capitol building where before the show we will have cocktails and do things to each other. We require Pat Robertson to throw us into a lake of fire.
Ah.
Rock on. My ideal fantasy would be to fashion a Stephanie sandwich between my wife and I after the show, but I will settle for the VIP tickets. Any cool? Looking forward to Madison. Scott and Madison, take care.
All right.
Well, we will, and we'll see you next month. But so sorry, those tickets have been gone for months. But Chicago, where I think Bob will be, I would get those tickets now.
I'm going to be there stuffing some Italian beef in my mouth.
There's a good Italian beef.
Why do I? I'm
right
telling you
corner.
Right now, he's going to go, and during the Q&A, he's going to be like the front of the line, and no one else will be able to question. His question will be like 45 minutes.
So anyway,
uh-huh.
Back when Catherine the Great was in charge here in Russia, what happened was that.
Oh God.
And then
I went on CompuServe and found out that. Oh wait a minute, there's a problem.
And then he won't feel like I let him get his point in Chicago, so then he'll probably go to, where's the next one? Albuquerque, I'm going to guess, in May.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, hi, Bob, you're in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I was going to call Albuquerque, but I couldn't find any Italian beef for deep dish pizza,
right.
So I said, screw this, and then I went to Canada.
Okay, all right. And later, that same year in Minneapolis in June.
No,
yes,
no,
Bob,
no,
what?
No. Okay, we've run that one into the ground.
Okay. Anna in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, I've got an analogy for Chris.
Yes. Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah,
oh,
sorry. Shortly after Poland left the Soviet bloc, the second president, the guy who went after Lech Walesa, received a delegation of people from east of the city called Gdansk, which everybody else knows as Danzig.
Gdansk.
And they had a petition for him. Basically, they were East Prussian. East Prussia is primarily German. Primary language is German. Culture is German. Heritage is German. The German kings were crowned there. Restore East Prussia to Germany. The president replied, go home and learn to be good Poles.
Okay.
All right.
All
that's
right.
Not analogous.
Listen, Ken has some fun facts for you about analogies.
Yes? John Kay of Steppenwolf is from East Prussia.
Oh.
His real name is Joachim Kauladek.
That was more interesting than what that lady had to say.
But
stop making fun of people.
He grew up speaking German in what was East Prussia at one time.
Right.
And apparently his father must have been Lithuanian, which is right next door, hence the name Kauladek. Anyway, he moved to Canada, and his gym teacher couldn't pronounce the name Joachim Kauladek, so he called him John Kay.
Oh, that's
and
interesting. Thank you. What is going on with the show this morning?
So,
okay.
This one is not going in any kind of
so, I want to have to serve.
Right.
The guitarist for Steppenwolf was actually a Martian.
The important thing is, what would Eddie Money do? That's my point.
Why don't you ask him? Did you get his number?
Did you take
no,
to
I
paradise?
Did not. I did not.
Why didn't you get his
number? I was on the plane next to sitting next to Eddie Money on the way back from sexy liberal Fort Lauderdale.
You could have tickets to Crimea.
You could have made the sex with him.
I could. What he had in mind, I think. Here are the fun facts from Ken.
Right.
Chris, analogies do not have to be situations that are exactly like the situation that is being analyzed. Mm. Also, hypothetical situation can be introduced as well, since using analogy is a form of hypothetical comparison.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Stupid head.
Even you.
Twaddle.
Even you admit that some of the analogies have been crap today.
They just make my eye hurt. I don't understand what the Monroe Doctrine has to do with anything. Do we have to know this?
It's going
to
be on the final.
How come we haven't had celebrity stack today? I need some celebrity stack. Foreign policy?
That's a good idea. Here, you know what? This is why Free Speech TV has Amy Goodman and Tom Hartman.
Yes, they handle this.
You know what? Today's show makes Amy Goodman and Baby Jesus cry.
Made me cry.
Don't talk about foreign policy. Charlie Sheen would like you to stop calling his fiance a porn star. How about that?
Mm.
What?
Line two.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's Bob.
Hi, Bob in Chicago.
This is Bob in Chicago.
Hi.
It's not deep dish, it's thin crust.
Ah.
I'm waiting for my two tickets to the Chicago show so I can go down there and do Q&A.
Okay.
All right.
Travis, we'll get you set up with two tickets to Chicago. I'm not doing that for anybody else, Bob, okay?
Actually, it doesn't really matter. I just wanted to get back in.
No, I will get you two tickets to Chicago, Sexy Liberal. Will you bring your Commodore?
And
show me your copy, sir.
I have a storage shed full of antique computers.
Oh, that's great.
I will give you two tickets if you bring
a new gaming machine, and I'll tell you something, they're all no good.
Oh,
Bob, hang on. Travis, get him set up. We don't give tickets away to nobody.
Roland will yeah,
oh,
have
my
that
goodness.
Info.
All right.
Oh, my God.
That's so great.
He's got a shit full of I got a shit full old, you know. But he's got, like, what, Pac-Man, and I don't know what else is in there on his Commodore. Where was I? Oh, you asked for celebrity stack. Charlie Sheen would like you to stop calling his fiancée a porn star.
Okay.
He's preparing to wed Brett Rossi, but his angry people keep referring to her adult film past. She was in Me and My Girlfriend, Fantasy Girls, and My Sister's Husband.
Oh, wow.
Which were released last year. A source said it's actually making Charlie crazy. Oh, that wasn't a long trip.
Tiger Blood wasn't crazy, but now.
Hashtag crazy.
Now it keeps referring to Brett as a porn star because she is no longer doing that. She recently graduated from nursing school, Jim.
Naughty nursing school.
All right.
Wow.
You know what? That's it. Today.
And just in time.
Yikes, that show was, that was just like a flat line pretty much.
Yeah.
That was just.
I'm not using this as the best of.
Dead on arrival. Yikes, okay. This Alan Smithy production.
Absolutely.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Nobody.
We'll see you tomorrow on
no
the
one
Stephanie.
No one will take credit for it.
Nope.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.